From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Burdens Cast on Him. The text is Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. It is a heavy burden. Roll it on omnipotence. It is thy burden now, and it crushes thee. But when the Lord takes it, He will make nothing of it. If thou art called still to bear it, He will sustain thee. It will be on Him and not on thee. Thou wilt be so upheld under it that the burden will be a blessing. Bring the Lord into the matter, and thou wilt stand upright under that which in itself would bow thee down. Our worst fear is lest our trial should drive us from the path of duty. But this the Lord will never suffer. If we are righteous before Him, He will not endure that our affliction should move us from our standing. In Jesus He accepts us as righteous, and in Jesus He will keep us so. What about this present moment? Art thou going forth to this day's trial alone? Are thy poor shoulders again to be galled with the oppressive load? Be not so foolish. Tell the Lord all about thy grief, and leave it with Him. Don't cast your burden down and then take it up again, but roll it on the Lord and leave it there. Then shalt thou walk at large, a joyful and unburdened believer, singing the praises of thy great burden-bearer.
Receive us, O Lord.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. For many weeks now, Dr. Cairns has been preaching an in-depth study of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Recently, he began to deal with chapter 3, one of the great pivotal chapters of the entire Bible. In this chapter, Paul speaks of the great advantages possessed by the Jews. They were God's chosen people, unto whom he committed the oracles of God, the Old Testament Scriptures. Sadly, the Jews tended to depend upon their heritage as a guarantee of heaven, ignoring the need for repentance from their sin and the need of a true spiritual relationship with God through Christ. Paul argues that God will judge them and anybody else who relies on anything other than Christ for salvation. Now here is Dr. Cairns to bring the introduction to a message called The Immutable Faithfulness of God.
Now tonight we continue with our studies in the book of Romans, and we now come again to chapter 3. Chapter 3. We've already looked at the first 8 verses of the chapter in an overview, and I'm picking up some of the great themes that appear in these opening 8 verses. We're going to read verses 1 to 4. Once again, last week we thought of the opening two verses as we considered the greatest gift, the greatest treasure that God gives to men on earth, namely the Holy Scriptures, the oracles of God. We'll read those verses again and then follow the argument into what will be the text for tonight in verses 3 and 4. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. As I say, verses 3 and 4 will constitute the text for tonight. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith or faithfulness of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. One of the very few things that the multitudes, and they are multitudes, of men who have set out to write commentaries on the book of Romans agree upon regarding this passage, one of the very few things in which they entirely agree, is that it's very difficult. And that's always comforting to somebody like me coming to a passage where the experts are saying one thing and another. It's also a salutary warning. You may come to Scripture with various prejudices, various ideas already in your mind, and even great scholars can very often find there what they set out to find there. Whereas always when we come to God's Word, we must, rather than being judges of the Word, we must be judged by the Word. The Word itself is what leads us to its meaning and its application. And what these words mean will be clear when you see where they lie in the epistle, in the argument, why they are where they are. But as I say, by common consent, this is a difficult passage. One of the great questions that those who come to Romans 3 ask is, who is the person who here is asking all these questions? What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Verse 5, another question. If our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? And so on. Who is asking all these questions? That's a very important key to coming to an understanding of the passage. Without going into all the pros and cons and the arguments one way and another, let me say that the more I study this, the more I am convinced that you've got to see that Paul is answering questions that either have been asked by Jewish objectors to his doctrine, or he's asking questions that he knows the typical Jewish objector is going to raise when he sees what Paul is writing here. In other words, Paul is not saying here are legitimate questions that may come from Christians misunderstanding what I'm saying. I think Paul is facing here, in giving us these questions, he's facing a bitter, sustained attack from Jewish opponents to the gospel. And I think once you grasp that, you will grasp the meaning, especially of the questions that are before us in verse 3 tonight. Now, I've already pointed out that there is a dispute even as to how you punctuate. Where do you put the first question mark? Is it for what? Question mark. If some did not believe, shall their unbelief? And so on. Or is it as it's punctuated here in the authorized version? And again, people dispute one way and another. Let me cut to the chase. I hope you pick up now how I have learned a little American idiom. I say that in Northern Ireland, and they look at me just as blankly. Wonder where on earth I got that from, as if I had said to you that he thought he was no goat's toe. Now, my wife knows what that means. You haven't a clue, and I'm going to keep you in your ignorance. But let me cut to the chase and say, I think what this is saying, if I may paraphrase the question, here's the objector. You say that these Jews had the oracles of God entrusted to them. Let me point something out here. The word entrusted or committed in verse 2. The word did not believe in verse 3. The word unbelief in verse 3. The word faith in verse 3. Here are four words. They are fundamentally all differing forms of the same Greek word. Obviously, Paul is doing this by design. And so the objector is saying, Paul, you're saying God entrusted to us the scriptures. Before that, you have told us of the judgment of God against the Jews because of their sin. And notwithstanding that, you're saying we still have this tremendous blessing and this tremendous responsibility. But your charge still stands. You're saying we as a nation are guilty of the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You say we are guilty of unbelief of the very scriptures with which we have been entrusted by God. Now then, what if some, notice the some. The reality is, in Jewish history, it's not the some who did not believe and the many who did believe. It is the many who did not believe and the some who did believe. Peter, or should I say Stephen, if you recall, in his last great speech before he was martyred, in Acts 7, he says, looking over the whole of Jewish history, and coming right up to the present, he says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. This is a summation of the whole of Jewish history. Look at the vast majority. And he says, from the time of Moses, when he come down from the mount with the oracles of God in his hand, from that time until the present, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. But this Jewish objector is saying, well, what if some of us believe? The idea here, he's saying, is now here is a strong objection to the doctrine that you, Paul, have been expounding. Because you've been saying that by not believing, the Jews have come under the judgment of God just as much as the Gentiles. And they've been unfaithful to the very scriptures that God has given them. Well, You say they have been guilty of unbelief, but you say they have these articles of God. Yet these articles of God tell us of God's covenant and God's promise. And you want me to believe that because of our unbelief, our unfaithfulness to God, God is going to be unfaithful to His promise, He's going to be unfaithful to His covenant, and He's going to condemn the Jews? That's the objection. I think Charles Hodge was much of the same mind when he said, the Jewish objector here is saying, what if we have been unfaithful? Or if we have been as wicked and unfaithful as you would make us appear? Does that invalidate the promises of God? Must He be unfaithful too? Has He not promised that He would be our God and we should be His people? These promises are not suspended upon our good or evil conduct. That's the arrogance of the objection that Paul is facing. There's a lot of truth in that. But there is one thing that I need to add. You see, this objection is very, very pointed. Remember throughout chapters 1 and 2 what Paul has been arguing. We must keep in sight this consistent argument that Paul has been mounting in Romans chapters 1 and 2. He's been saying from chapter 1:16 onwards, the Jew needs to be saved as much as the Gentile. The Jew needs to be saved in the same way as the Gentile. The Jew needs Christ, and he needs the righteousness of Christ. Why? Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness of men. And he shows that that's true of the Gentile, but he shows that it's equally true of the Jew. He ends in chapter 1 saying to the Gentile, you're without excuse. He starts in chapter 2 and he says to the Jew, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Paul is saying to these Jews, God's judgment is as much against the Jew as against the heathen. The Jew has a priority in privilege. And he has a priority in responsibility, and he has a priority in judgment. God will judge the Jew and damn him as he will the Gentile if he dies in his sin and unbelief. Now, that's the argument that the Jew could not stomach. And he's raising the objection, that can't be true, because God, in these very oracles that you're talking about, God has given us His covenant to the Jews. We are His covenant people. Is God unfaithful? Paul answers, God forbid. Just a word here. It is often said by those who think they know a whole lot that there is absolutely no reason to invoke the name of God here. The Greek text simply says, may it not be, or never, or certainly not. So why do we invoke the name of God? Well, without going into detail, the Greek Old Testament translated a Hebrew word in this way, may it not be. But that Hebrew term was often, not always, but often linked to the name of God. And it was because of that, not making it up out of whole cloth, it was because of that that our authorized version translators felt that this is the force of the expression. God forbid. Paul was not just simply saying, oh, no, 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 no. No, all the intensity of his being was in here. You're saying, this is your objection to me, that I am making God unfaithful? God forbid. Notice how he goes on. Let God be true, but every man a liar, that thou mightest be justified. And by the way, if ever you wanted proof that the word justify in Romans is used in what theologians call a forensic sense, that is declared just, not made just. Here it is. You can't make God just. God is just, but you can declare Him just. That thou mayest be justified, declared just in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged, or mightest overcome when thou contemnedest in judgment. In other words, Paul, in his answer, goes straight to the judgment, and he's saying, I am telling you, your objection is a lie, and I am also telling you, God will be proven faithful and true when it comes to his judgment.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.